Can you hear the music?
I can hear the music, brother.
Fuck yeah. Fucking right, that's me.
You still don't have the lyrics for this?
No.
That's awesome. That's the best. That's the best part of my week. Wednesday morning. Click. Can you hear the music?
Wait for it. Wait. Coming. You're gonna feel it. Feel it in a minute. Wait. You ready? Right there! Oh!
So good, man. So good.
Fuck yeah, man. Welcome back to another episode of On the Throne podcast, you know, and shout out to Senjin Boychuk for that amazing intro outro music. And man, we're here. We made it. It's episode 100. We're doing it. We're doing the damn thing. And to celebrate 100, man, I couldn't think of anybody better to do it with than my boy Gord Keitley.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity. To be a part of anything that you put together is always a lot of fun, but I know how much effort you put into this, and to be available and able to join you on episode 100 is truly my honor.
Ah, yeah, man, dude, it's honestly, man, I've said it a couple times, like, yours wasn't the first podcast I was on, but yours, like, you know, when you had me on for 42, I believe it was, it definitely got the wheels going. Like, I want to do this. I want to be in this, eh? And you know, it set the wheels in motion. So we did it. We got her going, and man, you were a big inspiration for that. And your podcast to this day is still like something I really love listening to. It's changed a little bit along the way, and it's only gotten better. So
I think that's the thing that you have to embrace when you're going to do a podcast. I mean, first of all, 100 episodes of a podcast, 100 of anything is incredible. 100 episodes of a podcast. And I don't think, have you missed a week? Have you done 100 weeks in a row?
I've done 100 weeks in a row. I've not missed one week. There have been some pretty tight deadlines, but like, we have not missed a week. In fact, we've actually had bonus episodes. Sometimes there was two a week for what, once in a while. Well, there hasn't been too many bonus episodes lately, but yeah, we haven't missed an entire week. Or one whole week. We haven't missed one episode in 100 weeks, and I don't know what it was. 152 weeks is a year, so now we're 4 weeks off of two.
That is incredible. Trust me, I did 61, I think, weeks in my first tranche, and it's you want the weeks to go. Have new content you have to put out every Monday for me or Tuesday for you. And those weeks go by so fast, and you're constantly trying to figure out ways to keep it interesting for you and to find new people to talk to and how you want to approach it and keep it interesting. And then you'll get into a spell where it's just easy and the guests come and the interviews are good and the response is great and it makes you want to do it. And you got to remember those days, brother, because there's going to be those other days when nobody's listening and nobody wants to return your call and nobody wants to sit down and talk with you. And it's like, ugh, it's such a wild trip. It's incredible. I think I've got 149 in the bank, and I'm reaching out to my 150th in about a week to set it up. I'm excited. I'm not going to say what it is, but I'm excited that I think he's agreed to come on at some point. So I'll call that favor in. And man, 150, like, it's just, and I'm going every 2 weeks now, have for about a year, just because of the way my life's set up. But man, yeah. Much respect to you, to Mrs. Frost, the kids, for letting you pursue this thing, because you're doing an incredible job.
Yeah, man, Mrs. Frost definitely deserves a big shout out for that. You know, she and the kids too, man. You know, there are times where it's like, okay, I'm coming home on days off, and it's like, I'm not going to record while I'm home because, you know, I've got some in the bank. We're good. And then as soon as I get home or a couple hours into it, For instance, Chris Barber reached out to me and was like, "Hey man, are you free tonight? Cause I'm free tonight." And I'm like, I look at Mrs. Frost and I'm like, "So I know I said I wasn't going to do any while I was home, but this guy's hard to get." Right. So,
yep.
He's ready. And she's like, "When?" I'm like, "Right now." And she's like, "Well, all right." But you know, she's been pretty good at, you know, you go off and do what you need to do as long as you come back and make that meaningful connection afterwards. Right. And you're not like, you put when that ends, you put that away and it's us now. Right. And, you know, and that's, it's been challenging. It's challenging, especially with the whole TikTok thing too. Right. Like, oh man, look at the views this video got, or, oh, look at the comments, you know, like, or the podcast, like, oh man, you know, like, I'm reaching out to people, and it's a never-ending job, as you know, right? Like, a never-ending job.
Well, I always try to inject a little bit of humor in my interactions with the pod, with my family, with my wife particularly. And I, you know, I've had some pretty amazing guests, people that had no business answering my call. Paul Langlois from the Tragically Hip, former Premier Saskatchewan Brad Wall. And I always call those people my good friend. You know, when Brad Wall's in on the news, I'll say, "Oh, Deanne, look, it's my good friend Brad Wall, former Premier Saskatchewan." And so as long as I keep dropping jokes like that every once in a while, she doesn't get too excited when somebody cool comes along, and I got to take some time out of something else we had planned to drop it, because she knows I enjoy it. She knows I look forward to it. She knows this is kind of something that I do now. It's part of me. So I just have to make sure that I don't use up that equity on, you know, stuff that's worth it. Right.
Well, remember what, Logan said on my podcast a couple weeks ago, the Dad Bods and Beards podcast, when he said men have a lot of space in this world, but we don't have a lot of healthy space. Right. And this is a healthy space. You know what I mean? This, you know, like she could be like, maybe not, but then like really think about it. Well, he could be out on the street doing crack, you know, or he could be out picking up, you know, $200 lady of the night, but no, he's in the basement recording a podcast, right? Yeah. Like, you know, he's not paying for some OnlyFans girl on online or anything like that.
Emma, if you're listening, there's nothing wrong with OnlyFans girls. You're a wonderful lady, and I appreciate your content, but do you understand the point Dick was trying to make?
Yeah, I love Emma. You know, can you believe Emma was way back on, like, I think it was 3 or 4, maybe even 5. She, man, 90 some odd weeks ago, in that first 10 episodes, when the audio was trash and nothing was good, and it was just, you know, like, we were just starting to feel it out, I got Emma Stone to come on the podcast, and I remember what she said about OnlyFans, like it was yesterday, and it changed Casey's Mrs. Frost's opinion on it a little bit too, where she's like, "No, I get to choose who I work with, and this to me is screams consent is sexy, right? Like it doesn't have to be trashy, right? It doesn't have to be trashy." She did that so she could get out of the house she was living in with her ex-husband because she could not afford to live anywhere else, and look over the last 2 years where that's taken her. You know, I don't know if you follow her journey or not, but
oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, she's out living somewhere else now, and she's out of that house, and she's made her money, and she's thriving.
The part about Emma's story, and I don't have really an opinion, and not that it would matter, but it taught me that you don't have to have an opinion. You can just talk to someone. You can have a conversation about the choices they've made, and you don't have to agree with all of them or any of them, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't have to turn into a preachy thing. And that, speaking of Chris Barber, you know, I think that you do a really good job. The times you've had Chris on, very obviously very famous for one, you know, point of his life. But that was just one point in his life. And when you talk to him about all the other things, you know, whether or not you agree with the truckers convoy or any of the stuff that happened around that, that's kind of beside the point when you're talking to Chris. And I think Chris does a really good job. You know, he goes on shows where that's the focus, but that's not the focus of your show. No. He'll talk about it. He's not embarrassed about it, but that's not why he comes on your show. And I think 100 episodes in, you've really done a great job of finding those guests that have that reason. People want to hear what they say, and then talking about something that's maybe not what everybody was expecting, so that it's something different and something new, right?
Yeah. You know, just trying to humanize the person behind the event or the issue, right? And I love doing that. You know, like for Emma, it was the OnlyFans. People have issue with that. Chris, it was the Truckers Convoy. You know, there's so many more that have, you know, taken off for different reasons that it's like, we'll touch on it. Sure, why not? We'll talk about it for a minute. Like Kate. Man, Kate, the Oilers flasher girl. How long did we spend talking about that moment?
Right.
Barely any, right? We joked around about it here and there, but like we just talked about Kate, you know? There was no real, like, there wasn't like a huge amount of time. The podcast was an hour and a half long. We didn't spend an hour and a half talking about boobs coming out and all of a sudden she's famous, right?
But so, you could have.
We could have. 100% we could have.
Well, and that's, I think that's the part of the reason why 100 episodes is such a feat and why so many people don't get anywhere near it is because they think it's easy to do the other thing, to be interesting without focusing on the convoy or the OnlyFans or the flashing video. It's hard. And it's hard to be interesting. It's hard to, you know, you've had, I mean, we talk just about every week about our shows. We've both been like, ooh, my back sore, did some lifting this week. And then the other guy listens back and we talk about the things we did well, right? Like I'll say to you like, oh, wow, you really did this well. I thought when it looked like it was kind of played out about 30 minutes in and you needed another 30 or 40 minutes to make it an episode. And you picked up on something and you did it. That's a skill, and it's not a skill that everybody has. And I think that the people that tune in week after week to listen to what you do, you know, can appreciate the fact that you've gotten so much better at it. I know I've noticed, you know, huge improvements in the way you navigate having these guests on. And I think it's just really cool. It's something that's going to serve you well for the rest of your life, having this experience. If you quit after 107 episodes, nobody will ever take those 100 episodes. And the internet's forever, Dick, right?
The internet's forever, man. Oh, man. I'm getting banned on my private Facebook account for things I've posted 10 years ago. So, like, you know, like, the internet's forever. It doesn't go away. You know? It's pretty wild. No, man, I appreciate that. You know, a lot of hard work goes into this. I know you know that. Part of the reason why I wanted you to come on, you know, for 100, you know, you're a micro lookalike. So, you know, it works out just fine, you know? Yeah. And, yeah.
Well, it's a lot of fun because I listened back to my first appearance, episode 6, I think it was.
Yeah, it was 6, I think. Yeah.
And, you know, I think you maybe didn't debut, the Mount Rushmore in my episode, but it was pretty fresh. And I still, 94 weeks later, I'm still proud of my answer. I thought it was good. We talked about a lot of things, in my life. You know, you were inquisitive. You asked good questions. We were able to carry on a conversation, I think we were about an hour and 40 minutes. And then I've been listening, obviously. Yeah, I listen weekly and I've been listening, and it's like, night and day, some of the things I listened back to the old, like just the audio and the way that we interacted. And it's like beautiful thing to see it start to, you know, improve. And then all of a sudden you listen to 90 episodes later and it's like, holy cow, is this the same show? Really? It's like, wow, that's cool. Where we've got it to. And then you got sponsors, Dick. You got sponsors. You're getting paid.
Getting paid, man. Just paid to do it. And, yeah, man, part of those sponsors, you know, were the reason why the audio got better, right?
Right.
You know, the Mudman, he listened to one of the episodes and he was like, well, I noticed the audio was better, so I went to go look at the video on YouTube to see what you did different. And I had the headphones in, right? And he's like, "Do you need headphones?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "All right, well, let's get you a mic and headphones. We can sponsor the show." It was supposed to be a 5-episode run, and that was what, 14 or 15. And I guess here we are, 85 weeks later, right? And the Mudman's still clinging on, not clinging, I don't know, clinging is a bad word. Still hanging in there with me, still just chilling. And you know, more than ever, you know, he, you know, the headset and the mic, but the laptop, man, which is amazing. Like, you know, I watch movies on this thing now, dude. And let me tell you, the pornography on this thing is better on here than it is on my phone, dude. I'm telling you, like, shout out to the Mudman.
Well, you don't have to do the screen lock when you turn it, right? When the computer, it's always in the right, it's 1080p all the time. So shout out to the girls at Pornhub for getting it set up right for all the fellas working up in the Fort Hills.
Oh shit. I don't know. Oh man. Well, I think that would be, what's his name there? T Diddy there. You know, he does the tower work, right? And he was on an episode and he was, you know, he even said, "Hey, if you can watch the hub while you're at work in camp, shout out to guys like me," right? And fuck, I love that guy. It took me a long time to get that guy on, man. I wish I could. I don't know about you, but if I showed you my text conversations with some of these people, like, you know, how long it takes to like get them, and then they finally answer me back, and then they, so there's the DMs too, and then they give me their number, and then we talk, and it's like, well, yeah, and then they don't answer me for a while, and then I text, and finally, like, hey, I'm free, right? And then, you know, maybe something happens where, you know, that moment didn't quite work out. So then we got to keep playing tag, right? And who was it? I can't remember recently. They're like, "Hey, man, sorry, you know, sorry that, you know, it took so long." And I'm like, "No, man, it's all good." And they're like, "I noticed you're messaging me a lot." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm not doing that to stay annoying. I'm doing that to stay relevant." Because, you know, the messages, they come and they come and they come and they come. All of a sudden, I don't send you one for 4 or 5 days. I'm way down here. You don't know I exist anymore. So I'm just like, I'm just keeping myself at the top, right? I'm like, hey, you know? So.
Oh, yeah. No, I've got a couple of, like, white whales that, like, I've got my dream guests that we talked about before, but I've just got a few that are just, I think, would be interesting. And the worst part, the worst thing they can do is give you that little gnaw of hope and reply to a DM on Instagram or something. Yep. I always ask if they have an email that they're willing to share, I'll shoot them a show sheet. And I've had, there's a lady from the lower mainland. I think she's originally from like Delta and she lives in California now. Her name is Georgia Aaron. She's like a pinup car model. She has her Cutlass and then she has a little Toyota truck that she does all these, the SEMA show and that kind of stuff. And twice I've had her accept the invitation and then not show up to the actual recording. And it's like, oh, you do so much work and you're just sitting there and you're just waiting and you're just waiting for that knock, 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 or somebody wants to be admitted. And it's like, man, this is one of those depressing days. And it's like, she's not the only one. So I hope if anyone, you know, knows who Georgia is or whatever, don't think any less of her. She's a very busy person. And I was asking for some of her time for free. So that's how it goes. But, it's incredible amount of work, keeping people straight. I sent a email this week to a lady who is going to come on, and I got my blurb mixed up, and it was to somebody that was going to be that was in a gang and went to prison. And she's like, "Yeah, I think you got the wrong person. Like, I was never in a gang and I do this and that." And I was like, "Oh God, how embarrassing." Like, no, honestly, I'm more professional than this.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And you know, Ed the Sock said it best, right? Like, sometimes the funniest part is reaching out.
Yeah.
Right. He said that. He's like, hey, man, like when I said, hey, I didn't know if I should reach out to you or not. And he's like, hey, when the funniest part sometimes is just reaching out, thinking like, there's no way this person's going to message you back, or there's no way this person's going to even read it. And then all of a sudden they do. Right. And man, it's like one of my favorite episodes still. Like, you know, like,
great episode.
Oh man, he was a legend, you know, like looking back on it, you know, there's, I like them all. I love recording them all. I love listening to them all. He's probably in my top 10 of my favorite ones I've recorded.
Well, podcasts are like kids. You definitely have a favorite, but you can't tell anybody which one it is, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I definitely can't tell anyone which one my least favorite is. So,
yeah, honestly, there's no value in that. Or like even thinking about that. Like I have those thoughts too. Like I scroll through every once in a while and go, oh shit, I can't believe I forgot about that pod. And that was a great pod. And I wish I'd gotten more out of that one. I like, you know, whatever, fucking 7,200 impressions, not listens. I don't get 7,200 listens, but you can tell the impressions. And it's like, I should have had more with that. That was a better guest than that. I did something wrong in the marketing of that only that many people decided they wanted to see it. And, that's good. That's constructive. That's worth my time to sit and think about, to go look at some of the other ones that aren't as good and dwell in that. There's nothing, there's no upside there.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I hear that, you know, I kind of treat them like TikTok videos now. And you've helped me with that one actually. Cause I bring it up all the time. You know, the first episode we did was live stream. There was only 5 people in there. Right. And I was like, man, it's only 5 people. And you're like, man, 5 people were standing in front of us right now, watching us do this, we'd be overwhelmed. And then, you know, that was like an aha moment for me. If I was Oprah Winfrey, you know, it'd be my aha moment. And, you know, I started treating even like TikTok and Instagram reels like that, right? Like you throw it up, it does how it does, you move on to the next.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and you gotta do that. Same with podcasts, the podcast. Obviously, you want it to do good. Obviously, you're gonna try your hardest, push it out, do as much as you can, but you can't force people to listen, right? So it's going to do how it's going to do. The dice are going to land how they're going to land. And you got to be okay with however it pops off and move on to the next week. Right. You just off we go. Hopefully next week is better.
Yeah. And I don't believe that there's actually like, it'll be what it will be. You'll put the effort in. The effort that you put into the interview will show up. The energy that the guest brings will show up. The work you put into your marketing will show up, and all of that culminates into what any creative endeavor, whether it's a podcast or a post or a song on the radio, that's what it's going to be. And I had a little shameless self-promotion, but my newest episode today with Pat Cordy back from Stereo, Delta Suite is what he's doing now from the band Stereos. He talks about that too. Like they were so ready when they finally got their big break. And he's like, I didn't really get a chance to appreciate it because I was like, yeah, this is what I'm here for. Yeah. And he played with the Black Eyed Peas at the Molson Amphitheater in Montreal. And everyone was like, isn't that just the coolest? And he was like, yeah, no, that's the greatest. What are we doing now? And now looking back on it, he's like, I should have taken some more time to enjoy all of that. So I'm very mindful of that too. And when a podcast doesn't do what I'd hoped it was going to do, instead of getting in my head about it, I just enjoy it. I'm like, well, you know what? You had a reason to reach out to Pat Cordyback, a multi-time Juno Award winning artist, and have good conversations with him. Like we chatted back and forth on the email today about the pods out and here's the links and blah, blah, blah. That's pretty cool. I got to do that.
Hell yeah,
it wasn't weird. He was like, oh, hey, Gord's, what's Gord want? Without a podcast and the effort that I'd put into this creative endeavor, I wouldn't have got a chance to do that. I wouldn't have got a chance to reach out to Paul Langlois. I wouldn't have got a chance to reach out to Brad Roberts from the Crash Test Dummies or Brad Wall or Jeff Perlman from Sports Illustrated and all these cool people that returned my calls and came on my show. Tara Sloan, Natasha Stanishevsky, Rick the Temp, and like I feel like I'm name dropping, but put your CSAs on because there's going to be shit falling here. These people called me back and we talked. How crazy is that, right?
That is insane, man. Like, I listened to your episode today with Pat Kordiak. That's his name, right?
Kordiak.
Okay. I listened to that episode. Man, I even text you about one of the things that stood out to me about it, right? The AFI, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you were like, oh, who's that or whatever, but like you knew who that was. You had to have, right? And I'm just one of the greatest fucking bands ever, right? In my opinion. And man, great episode, dude. That's huge, man. And you know what? Like, kudos to you. I was stoked for you when you got that. I was stoked for you. Paul Angois, dude, that was huge. And I still haven't listened to every single episode of your podcast yet. I once in a while I'll go in and I'll be like, I haven't listened to this one yet, and I'll put that one on, right? Yeah. And then, you know, but the last thing, you know, since we started really talking, I guess year, I listen to them in order, but like it's the ones at the very front that I got to go back and be like, okay, this one. Okay, I haven't listened to this one yet. And yeah, man, and you could definitely tell, you know, the audio for you too, and the work that you've put in, you know, with your delivery and how well it's delivered and how it sounds, man, you've come a long way as well. So, you know.
And don't forget Liam's balls dropping.
Liam's balls dropping. Dude, that kid, good for him. I know he's out hanging out with women now, is why he hasn't been a part of the the last few. He's hanging out with a girl, isn't he?
Hey, he's got a lot of stuff happening, Dick. I'm not at liberty to discuss the specifics, but it's all good and there's no problems. It's just scheduling, man. He's busy. He's in grade 11. His marks start to matter for college, and he's involved. He's got a job. He's involved in a couple of different teams at school, and it was like we were carving time out, and I was like, you know what, man, this is, we got 100 episodes of us doing that together. We don't have to do every one. And he was like, it's your show, Dad. You do what you got to do. So I, if he wants to come on, he's always welcome. We know how to do it now. But I'm not gonna, you know, force him to find time to listen to the show, because if he doesn't listen to it and he guesses, then he says something in the intro and I'm like, what? Come on, man. You didn't listen to it. That's not a thing. And he'd be like, okay, I only listen to half. And he's got a big, dumb voice just like that. So
I love where Liam's voice has gone to from the beginning to now. Like, you can say, yeah, you know, get that. And then it's like, yeah, Dad, you know, we're like, what are you doing? And like, oh, man, Liam, if Liam listens back to this, man, you got to get on and do more intros, because like the second act podcast, man, like, I miss Liam's voice in there. You know, I expect, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, you know, to the second act. You know, and like, so when it starts and that doesn't come up where it's like, hey, yeah, no Liam again today. And it's like, oh man. All right. I'm turning it off. Fuck it.
Yeah. Don't do that. Listen all the way to the end. It's got to be on for like, I think 3 minutes to register as the listen. So just leave it in the background while you're filling out your permit or something.
Yeah. Well, that'll take a lot more than 3 minutes. Jeez.
Yeah, right. Hey, we're not happy unless you're not happy. What did I tell you?
One thing that blows my mind about, you know, going 100 weeks straight, right, is not that it's just 100 weeks straight. It's the conditions and all the shit happening in the background that came with that, right? Like camp service, camp Wi-Fi, shit happening at home, you know, being so far up north that maybe there isn't any Wi-Fi up there at all, right? You know, and Fox Creek, you know, that wasn't easy. And, you know, being on call 24/7 and, you know, working sometimes up to 40 hours straight and being like, oh man, there's like 70 hours till this podcast is supposed to drop and I just worked 40 of them, or I just got off a night shift and this guy's available during the day. Okay, cool. Let's get this guy going, right? And there's so much behind it. Right now, I'm in the boonies in camp. I'm in 9,000 wing, which is really far, and to the top floor at the very back. Wi-Fi is atrocious up there. I've recorded a couple of the last few episodes up there, and the audio's been a little bit choppy and whatnot. So right now, I'm sitting in the back seat of the Tacoma. or not Tacoma, the Tundra.
Wow, Toyota's Toyota performs once again. Everything works with a Toyota.
Everything works with a Toyota. And, you know, like, I got the ring light set up here. I'm in the camp parking lot. People are walking by. A recent episode I recorded that will be out after this one, like a couple weeks later, camp security was driving by and saw me sitting in the back seat with a ring light going, what the hell? It was like, knocked on the door. There's no alcohol in there, is there? No, we're good, you know? And that's just shit you're going to hear on the podcast, right? And people, at the beginning, before the laptop, you know, people would call me, dispatch would call me, you know, coworkers would call me, and it would cut out the feed, and we couldn't really do any editing. So you got what you got, right? It came out how it came out, and that was that, right? And then, you know, the laptop makes things way easier. I can edit a podcast episode now in probably an hour, right? And it's good.
That's the biggest thing that I've taken away from it too, is where there's the will, there's the way. You know, I remember when you in that other camp in Fox Creek, internet was usually pretty good, but there would be times when it wasn't. But people like really don't understand how much mental discipline it takes to stay committed to the pod when at any moment your phone could ring and you could be gone for 18 hours cleaning mud tanks. You know, like in your head, you're like, we were supposed to be doing that, but the cement job got pushed back, so now I'm off, but I don't know when, and I've got to remember, and are they going to leave kitchen open so that I can take something to eat? And by the way, welcome back to On the Thrick with Doan. Can you hear the music? And you're looking over at your phone the whole time. Like, people don't understand how hard it is to remain engaged with all those other things going on. You know, you're riding back and Mrs. Frost is saying, okay, you're still going to be home in 2 days. And you're like, well, you know, well, to the best of my knowledge. Yeah. And then you have all this other stuff going on. And then you get that one guest, that really good guest. You get Kennedy, the torque girl that you finally were able to track down, and you want to have a great show with her. And all that other stuff's happening. And then people are like, listen to the pod and like, man, Dick's on fire today. It's crazy how good he is. And then you hit the end button, and your body just melts into a puddle. You just held it together for 90 minutes. Nobody knows how. This is a little bit not like a Bleeding Hearts Podcasters Club, because that's not what this is. It's a little bit behind the scenes on what it takes to deliver 90 minutes of content weekly for 100 weeks in a row, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, the Morning Dookie is out now too. I haven't put one out in a couple in like a week and a half now, and it's on my mind every day. I got to do a Morning Dookie, but I've been so busy, and now I'm going on nights, so maybe I do the Evening Dookie. I don't know. Oh, there you go. See, like, the wheels are firing. No, I'm on night shift now. The Morning Dookie's not here. It's the Evening Dookie. Or does the Morning Dookie get easier to do because I'm back in my room for the Morning Dookie? Right. Yeah, you know what I mean? There's so many ways we could take that, but yeah, man, The crazy amount of discipline, like you said, and melting. I remember that episode I did with the trench. I was working nights. I had just got off. I was like 14 hours with travel. I just got off night shift. I was on nights for 3 weeks. It was that blistering cold weather we had last winter for like a week long straight there. And I was in Dawson Creek. And we had this planned out in the morning when I got off, and I was dead. That cold just killed me. And I'm like, you know what? I'm maybe going to have an hour long nap and then get up. And I didn't. I didn't have the nap. And he's like, hey, I'm ready. So we turn it on, and I'm like, yeah. And we did our thing, and it ended up being a really good episode. But as soon as that went off, man, I had the best sleep of my entire life, I think. You know, like, I just died, right? Because, like you said, discipline, but like, you know, to talk and have a conversation going like this, it takes a lot of energy, right? Like, it does. Like, I never knew or realized until I got a little older, I talk a lot. And it's got to be exhausting for some people. But, like, fuck, it's exhausting to me, too. I exhaust myself.
Oh, for sure. And it's hard when you get listening back to yourself, when those little nuances that you would never notice in real life, how they weigh on you. And I'm you know, I'm terrible for following up a question with so. And my wife always makes fun of me about interesting and incredible. Is that interesting, Gord? Is that incredible, Gord? So, and it's like, and you listen back to a podcast and it's just those words sprinkled throughout. And we've talked about this one before too, about when you describe something as crazy, that's crazy. It's like, you know, I'm not saying it's on par with some of the other words that we all used to use that are no longer, you know, considered socially acceptable. But there is a connotation to the word crazy that when somebody tells you that they can touch their tongue or the tip of their nose with their tongue, you don't say that's crazy. You know, cheering for the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's crazy. It's, you got to come up with other words when people are listening to your voice all the time, weekly for 90 minutes at a time.
Oh yeah,
you have to put that work in so that your part of the conversation is still as interesting. That was something that a good friend of mine, I had a 20, Aaron Magoo. And he told me very early, he owns for, you know, a lot of people, the best comedy bar in Canada in Victoria. And he owns a little good little robot, little side kind of publishing company. And he's like, you're only ever going to do as good as your guest unless people want to come and listen to Gord. And I think that's something you've done really good. People want to listen to Dick. They want to know what you think. They want to know, you know, what your take on all these different guests is. It's not necessary. Obviously, a good guest is going to make it pop. But, you know, when your numbers are pretty consistent, which mine are, it means people are tuning in to hear me.
Yeah. Yeah. My numbers are pretty consistent. And it's, you know, sometimes, like, I forget all about the numbers for a few days, right? The podcast will come out. And, you know, it's not like at the beginning where I was like, I was right there. I was looking, I was refreshing the page. Right. And like now it's just like, it's going to do how it's going to do. And if I check it 3 days from now, it's still going to be the same thing as it was, you know, going to be anyways. Right. Not me constantly refreshing and checking. It's not going to change anything. Right. And, you know, and that actually makes it pretty stressful too, right? And this, I don't want this to be stressful. I want this to be one of the avenues of my life that is anything but stressful, right? And, you know, because like so many avenues, even of your life probably, you know, and all of our lives, is stressful. It is difficult and hard to get through. And, you know, this, I don't want that to be that. Oh, I think you froze.
Yeah, you just went black.
Oh shit! Did you hear anything I said?
You said you didn't want this to be stressful. You wanted this to be a great avenue of your life.
Yeah, and I said, you know, because like so many other things that are a part of our lives, right? Like your life, you have stressful shit in yours, and a large chunk of mine is stressful, and everyone has stressful things in their life, right? I want this to be one of the avenues in my life that is anything but stressful. I want this to be something I can turn on and be excited to do and love doing it. And every week when it drops, just love listening to it back.
Do you have a lot of people from the Wayback Machine that you haven't thought of for years reaching out to you, finding your content, the high school like type people or maybe relatives that you weren't close with, and do you find a lot of relationship rekindling is happening because of the reach of your pod?
Like a little bit. Like I had my buddy Eric on a year and a bit ago. He's in a band called April, and to kick off the month of April, I had him on the first month, right? It was a bonus episode. And then, you know, I got like one of my best friends growing up, you know, him and I were talking on Facebook Messenger, and he's like, man, I'd love to come on your pod, talk shit about back in the day, you know, when we were kids and we were playing ball hockey and we were just, you know, doing anything we could to hang out together every day. Right. And him and I, we've talked a lot about, we got together every day to play hockey religiously. And it seemed like we didn't know it was ending, but it was ending all the same, right? And it was, I had gotten a girlfriend, Mrs. Frost, right? Like, she was a big chunk of my life. I was spending more time with her. Other guys, I had a couple went on to play pro hockey, and then you had other, you know, we're all just growing up, right? And, you know, we go to the bar now, right? We were just like, hey, you know. And then so one day we talk about it a little bit quite often, is that we all showed up to play and we just sat on the sidewalk talking. We never played. We didn't care that the nets were there. We didn't care the goalie equipment was out. We didn't care the sticks were laid out in the center ready to toss off to the sides. We didn't care, right? Cars were passing by for the first time in years, it felt like, and no one was yelling, car, right? We were sitting on the side of the road on the sidewalk, and we're just shooting the shit. And it happened more and more. And then the last time we got together, it was like, well, you want to go to the bar? And then, you know, that was the end, right? You know, and that was, when you think about it like that, man, that's sad. You know, our childhood done, right? And man, yeah, so he reached out. Good question and good segue, I suppose. But not too many. Like, there's been a few for sure. You know, and I know some people that I went to school with, they definitely know that I do the whole TikTok thing and podcast thing. I talk about it on my private socials all the time and try to push it out there. My mom asks the other day if I'm still doing it. You know, she hasn't seen anything lately, but just because she's probably not looking in the right spots. But, you know, technology is hard for boomers, so.
Right.
Yeah.
That's funny. I have a cousin who's about 15 years older than me, and we never had a falling out or anything. Where our lives were, we were very different. And he reached out to me because his dad was a police officer for many, many years. And he's trying to get some of his dad's stories, you know, saved for posterity. So he's asking about recording and maybe a podcast and what it looks like. But that type of stuff happens all the time. But a girl that I was like, I went to, her mom was my play school teacher before I went to kindergarten. And her and I were really good friends, and they moved away at the end of grade six, and her family was all from back home, but I never, ever saw her again. Like, I've still never seen her. She lives in Calgary. I hear she works in the same oil and gas, like, or she did. I've probably five times in the last 10 years, I've had someone say, oh, you're from Carrot River, Saskatchewan. You must know this girl. And I'd say, well, you can't just go around saying that, but I do. Don't let this encourage you. But yes, yeah. I do. I was friends with her, and she found it, and she reached out, and she was like, oh my gosh, like, look what you're doing. This is exactly what you should be doing, you know, if I remember right. And I was like, well, it was 1989 when you moved away, so good memory, but you know. And she went through from episode one, and she caught herself right up. And every once in a while, I'd get a DM on Instagram and be like, oh my God, like, this such and such a episode was so cool. Like, how do you find these people? And it's interesting because she's like the first barometer I had of like somebody who knew me, but didn't really know me, listening to it all and kind of getting, does this seem like Gord? And it was like, she was like, resoundingly, yes, like, this is something you should be doing, which, you know, the whole reason I started my podcast was to find out about myself and understand how I'm perceived by people. And do I have any self-awareness? Cause it, you know, there was a lot happening in my life at that time that made me think I didn't. And it's really cool to kind of have these conversations with people looking back once you've had some time at it. And there's data out there now on it. There's 150 episodes of me talking to people on the internet. There's no hiding who you are with that much data out there. Like, if you're a self-absorbed prick, it's going to come across.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Right? Like, there's just no two ways about it. You can't fake it for that long. And so it's always interesting when somebody comes along and says, hey, that's pretty good. That sounds like you. That's exactly what I thought you would be like when you were as an adult, if they only knew me as a kid. And the other thing that came across kind of as a unintended benefit or consequence is when I'm interviewing at work, I've had the HR guy at work tell me when we interview, he's like, it's pretty obvious that you talk to people lots because he's like, you keep things moving, you keep it flowing. You're writing notes constantly, but it never interrupts the flow of things. He's like, you're good at this. And that was like, okay, if I get nothing out of it other than all of this, then I've improved myself in a couple of ways. And you know, what else are we all trying to do here if not, you know, be the best versions of ourselves every day, right?
Amen to that. One sec, Gord. The truck's starting to beep at me here, and it's going to self-shut off in a second.
We can't have that.
Got to do this. There we go. Yeah, man. I say this all the time, too, recently, anyways. When I'm live on TikTok and whatnot, is that, you know, your videos, right? You gain a following from your videos, right? You throw them out. People think they're funny or inspiring or whatever, and they follow you, but they know nothing about you from, you know, 30 to 60 second clips, right? When you go live is how you build your community, right? Cause they get to know you, and then I say, I go live and I have a podcast. Because you can hide being a self-centered prick in 30 to 60 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
But go live for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours sometimes. Have a podcast that's a couple hours or an hour and a half, you know, once a week. You're not hiding it, right? So people are going to get to know you. They're going to see who you are, right? And I recently got talking to one of my coworkers, one of my new coworkers at my new job here. And, you know, big Aboriginal fella. And he made me realize, and it wasn't just him that made, but he really, like, that's when it, like, actually hit me. Like, I knew, but, like, I didn't know how much, why I'm doing this, right? And he's coming on the podcast. We're talking. He wants to come on. And he's a vac truck driver, right? He works here. I work on the steamer. He works on the vac truck. But he's not just a vac truck driver. The guy's like 55, 60 years old. He's an actor. I would not have known that had I not talked to him. He was in Last of the Mohicans. He was in that show Outlander as an extra. I don't know if anybody here watches Outlander, but when young Ian and Jamie and Claire had to go and rescue Brianna's ex-boyfriend or boyfriend, Roger, from the Mohawks, you know, he was in the background of the fight scene, you know, and he was in that, he was telling me that, and that was his dream and his passion, and he's still doing it. He's in another, he just auditioned for another show coming up, and but he's a vac truck driver, but he's not just a vac truck driver. And that's why I do this, right? Because blue collar workers, man, you know, not just blue collar, but a lot of other people too, but like my niche, blue collar, we have our hands in so many pies. We're doing so many different things. You know, a lot of us didn't want to be turning wrenches or chasing rigs and cleaning tanks and sucking on dirt and whatnot. We didn't want to be doing that. We had other aspirations, you know, this is just the way life went. Right. And the podcast, you know, we talk about that, you know, and where did you want to go? What did you want to do? You went to school for this, but you ended up here, you know, and that's what I love about this. And that's what I love about talking to people. You never know what you're going to learn. And you know what I mean by the 6 degrees of separation. There's a difference in being, hey, hi, walking on, or hi, how are you, right? And yeah. That how are you is everything, right? You said it before. And I intentionally do that, and you, right? Now, and I think about you every single time I do that, because that and you, they might just want to keep on walking, but the and you, they're, oh, let me tell you how my day's going, or let me tell you how my week's going. And then, you know, many side quests in between there, right?
And people love to talk about themselves if you can make it not absurd, right? If you can give them an avenue to that it feels natural. People have stories, and if you ask respectful questions, give them an avenue, they'll open up. And with your abilities honed after 100 episodes, some of the stories you hear are probably incredible.
Oh, man. One of my favorite episodes was with Jersey Mike. You know, that was deep. It was deep. We had some funny moments in there. But, like, Jersey Mike, you know, like, shout out to that guy. you know, you said it yourself. You text me and you're like, it's like you guys had a therapy session and recorded it. Right. Yeah. And that stuck with me, man, because I listened to it back and I'm like, damn, man, you know, that episode almost didn't happen like that because Mike and I actually tried to record 2 months prior to that. But the camp Wi-Fi wasn't good enough. He started freezing and glitching and we were just at the welcome back part. Right. And he's like, you know what, man, let's do this when you have better cell service. And I'm like, dude, let's do it. And I had it multiple times. He was busy. Finally, the stars aligned. We did it, and we came up with that. And that's the other thing I always talk about. If it doesn't happen now, it's for a reason, right? If we have to postpone and postpone and postpone again, it's because there's a better story happening for us on this podcast than what is currently being offered to us, right? And that's my opinion on it, and that's what happened with Jersey Mike, so...
And I'm drawing a blank on the guy who the Vegas story it was pretty recent within the last couple of months. Murphy,
he was in the spring. I recorded with him one of my last few days at TCR in Fox Creek.
Oh yeah, so yeah, that one too. Same thing, round and around, and then when you finally land, it's like this is why it took till today to record it, right?
Yeah, man, it's crazy. There's the crazy word. It's been spectacular. It's been spectacular. You know, it's been phenomenal. It's been an enjoyable, phenomenal, spectacular ride. That's for damn sure.
So what's going to happen now? You're 100 episodes in. So congratulations. It's great. I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you. I'm all the things, but it's just another number.
What's the
game plan? Are you sticking with weekly? Are you sticking like blue collar? And I don't mean this in a derogatory sense, but to call your podcast blue collar to me dumbs it down. It talks to blue collar people. And a lot of times, especially with people that you don't know particularly well, that's your kind of, you're in with them. But you very rarely spend the whole time talking about blue collar things. You almost always get them to open up about their family, why they're doing what they're doing, what, to your point, what they really wanted to do before they ended up, you know, being a farrier or whatever the thing that they're doing is. Is that what you want to continue to do, or what's going on with on the throne that is going to make the next 100 as interesting as the first 100 were for you?
Definitely. All right. So yeah, that's a great question, man. Yeah, we're just gonna weekly. I'm still gonna keep going weekly until, you know, maybe we hit a wall. I don't know. We're not there yet. I don't feel like we're hitting a wall, but if it gets to that point, maybe we move to bi-weekly. Maybe it gets to a point where maybe I got to take a couple months break, you know, the podcast, you know, we go on a little break, we refresh, we regroup, and then we come back and we fire on all cylinders again, you know? I can't think of a single TV show or series or podcast. I don't know. Has Joe Rogan ever taken a break? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
That would be.
Mike Tyson took a 30-year break. You know, like.
Yeah, you're going to have to come back a little hotter and heavier than Mike Tyson did, bro.
Man, did you see what Uncle Hack put on the internet about that fight?
I saw Hack's. I can't recall it, but yes, I've seen some.
He's like, that. I've had gay thoughts that were harder than that.
Yeah, I fought gay thoughts harder than that.
I fought gay thoughts harder than that fight.
Oh man, I just recorded a pod with a very well known comedian in Canada, and we talked offline about the Danger Cats, and he's like. And apparently there's another troupe out of Toronto that's doing something very similar. And he's like, those guys are, and he knows like, he doesn't know Brendan and those guys, but he knows of people like that. And he's like, the wildest part is when you meet those guys, when they're not on stage, they're always the most soft-spoken, mild mannered, please, sir. Thank yes, sir. Ma'am. And I'm like, yeah, I can tell you for sure, man. When I had him on, he was like, the nicest guy. Like, he might be in the top three or four nicest people that I've had on my podcast. He just figured out that this is how he's not going to have to be an insulator anymore. And that's what he's doing. And And the comedian was like, and that's the trick. He's like, and the hard part is, especially with comedians, is you find your niche and that's kind of where you're at. He's like, you can always move a little bit, but you'll never get to, he'll never get to go and be like a corporate comedian now. That's what he is, you know, Hack and the Boys. So it's like that. And he's like, but as long as he keeps doing that, then he can go to Rocky Mountain House and Peace River. Well, maybe not Peace River. I'm not sure if they ever got that sort of.
Yeah, you might not be allowed there anymore.
And that's a little bit to the point. Like, you know, our podcasts are different for sure. But I do what I do, and I can come on your podcast and riff and do the things that in the blue collar, you know, vein. But I'm not here taking over your job. You do blue collar. You have the equity with all these people that are doing these things. It's interesting to me though that, you know, I've called you out on this. I'll say I've called you out on it, where you guys can get into your blue collar versus white collar a little bit. And I'll call you out on it and be like, hey, I'll tell you right now that I've been on both sides of that table and that's not exactly how it goes. And you're like, yeah, fuck off. Who is this? but that's fine, because I know you're saying fuck off from a place of love. But it's funny how 90% of those, you know, blue collar people that you have on are entrepreneurs and doing both. They wear a white collar underneath those coveralls. They're running their own business. They're doing their own marketing. They're business people and they're doing it. And it's not under the guise of blue collar, because that makes it sound fake or not authentic. And none of that is true, but they're doing both. And I think that's the crazy part that you highlight, is you find all these people that are doing both. And they've figured out that the push in the blue collar is better. So they market that way, but none of those people are successful as they are unless they can, you know, clean up a little bit, shave and hit the boardroom and kick ass in there too. Right.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. And as far as like the type of guests, right. I don't want to stray too far before we, you know, answer that one. As far as the type of guests, you know, the same, but also a little different, you know, like I want to have more people like Riker. Riker is in law enforcement. It's still kind of blue collar, but you know, there's some people online that I really enjoy watching that, you know, they don't work a blue collar job. They ride a desk, and you know, I find them interesting. I want to talk to more of those people too, you know. But what I really want to get into a little bit more of, and I started doing it in the last couple months, I am going to be pushing to do more in-person podcasts. I am going to try really hard for that. I know, you know, there are some that are a little harder to get. They're in harder to get to places for me, but I know there are some events coming up that I have access to because of a connection that I made from the podcast, actually. And I know the Mudman's down to ride now. How much is he down to ride? You know, like the Mudman's down to ride. We got Brasco Safety on board. You know, how much are they down to ride? You know, BetterHelp is on board. I don't know if they're probably not down to ride like that, because you know, BetterHelp's great, and I love that. I love that they when I reached out, I punched up. I did not think my podcast was going to be good enough for them to be like, hell yeah, let's go. I emailed them. They wanted the insights. They said, hey, send me a couple of the links. Sent a couple of links. He's like, hey, I listened back. And I even went to a couple different episodes. Love what you're doing. Let's work together. There's a lot of onboarding with that and a lot of things that we have to work through and discuss. But that is a partnership, and that's happening on the podcast, right? And, you know, I want to do more of that too on the podcast, you know, where I can give back to my community, right? We got Brasco Safety doing the whole PPE thing. You want cheaper PPE. You want a discount on your boots, on your gloves, on your cubbies that maybe your company's not supplying or whatever for some reason. I got a 10% off code. Take it. Here, let's go. I want to help out that way. BetterHelp. You want therapy. I got a 10% off code. You know, we've talked about it a lot. Mental health in this space is huge, right? And why not give back that way? Like, you know, I just want to give back, right? Like, if I can have a platform And as a guy that was standing on the outside looking in 4 years ago, going through some of this shit, not being able to afford new boots when I wanted them, needed them desperately. There's a hole in them. Oh shit, I gotta go until like, oh, I gotta go through three or four more paydays of paying my bills off before I can, you know, afford boots. Or, hey, I need therapy, but it's expensive, right? Here, if you're on the outside looking in, here, take it. Let's go. Right? And that's huge, man. I love being a part of that. I love being able to do stuff like that.
That's the biggest takeaway for myself from doing my podcast is the amount of guests that I've had in the men's mental health space. I try to ask every guest about how they manage their mental health through their transition from their first act to their second act. But it makes it easier and easier to ask that question, to have that conversation. And now in my day job, in my real life, I don't have any trouble phoning a dude up and being like, are you good? What's going on? You know, you've been hurt, you're injured, you're not able to work, and you're a guy in the oil industry. You're a certain amount of your self-worth comes from your ability to deliver all the time, and that's been taken away from you. Your body's failing. Let's talk about that. Your wife left you. Your kid's a Leafs fan. There's all kinds of ways you can be disappointed in this world.
Settle down.
And for me, man, the ability to be able to talk about it and not come off as patronizing and be able to give people the space to speak. Understanding that you can ask a question and then not talk for 3 minutes, let somebody else talk. That's okay. You know, sometimes in real life, there's people around you that haven't learned that lesson yet.
Shout out to LJ Musqua, by the way. I couldn't get a word in edgewise on that podcast. You know, like, I love that guy, man, you know, and right from, he didn't want to do it. He's like, I don't know if I'm good at that. And then like a couple months later, I reached back out and he's like, let's do it, man. And then we did it. And like, I didn't get to do my intro. I didn't get to do the sponsor thing. There was no time for, he was just like, boom, 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 rolling off the tongue with everything. And I'm like, all right, let's listen. I don't care. Yeah, this is a different kind of episode. And I'm fine with it, man. I love listening to you talk. Let's talk.
That's Riley, the angry driller. Riley Amos got me with that. I was half an hour into a podcast, 1 minute in with that guy, man. He was gone.
Yeah. Riley was one of my favorite podcasts. And, I wondered why I hadn't heard from him in a while recently, actually. Like, I haven't heard from this guy in forever. And then I went through my phone. I was, like, looking in my phone. And I'm like, block numbers. I went and looked at my block number list, and his number's in there. I'm like, I didn't block Riley. So I text him. I'm like, hey, buddy, what's up? He's like, Dick, you're alive. What's going on, man? I'm like, I say the same about you. You know, like, what's up, man? I love that guy. You know, like, all over the world. Done a million different things, been in like 3 helicopter crashes. Man, I haven't even been in one, you know, like, you know, I haven't even been hijacked either. What the hell's going on here?
Yeah, it's a small world. I after I posted that, I had a couple guys that I knew reach out and say, oh yeah, I worked with that guy. He's a different guy now than he was 10 years ago.
Yeah. I've had a bunch of people reach out and tell me about Riley over the last, since that podcast come out, right? They're like, oh, yeah. Riley, let me tell you some stories he didn't tell. Riley's good shit, man. I was gonna say something too about you know, the platform that I've been given here or I've created, I guess. I'm officially working with White Bear Workwear, right? And White Bear Workwear, coveralls and stuff like that, they make that stuff, and I wanted to work with them because, you know, when I was reaching out to Brasco Safety, right, I was like, well, White Bear, I was working for TCR, and TCR owns NWT and White Bear, right? So I was like, why not work with someone that I already work with, right? Like, why not, you know? And so White Bear supplies Brasco with some stuff. They're a supplier. So, like, they're not stepping on each other's toes by me talking about this. They've already we've already had these conversations with them about it. Their last hitch when I was in camp here, there's a donation bin for PPE in the boot room, right? And when we were talking, they're like, well, what do you want to do? We do giveaways and stuff like that. And I'm like, there's a donation bin in camp for PPE. You know, there are guys, we're coming in a winter, the young guys, they've never done a winter out here. There's older guys like me out here, you know, like maybe they're away from home, their PPE shit the bed, and they don't have any, right? And they can't get home yet. They're halfway through a hitch. I'm like, I want to donate some stuff to the bin. They gave me a fuck ton of gloves, hard hat liners, and some balaclavas and whatnot to donate to that bin. And they're like, here. And this ain't going to be it either. So they're coming out with their new waterproof parkas and bibs. And they're giving me a set and with my name on it, which is cool. And they're going to donate a waterproof parka and bib set to that bin. Nice. That's like $700 set, you know?
Yeah.
Wild, man. And that's why I love this. And we had a conversation. Her name's Mercedes. She's going to come on the podcast. But we had a conversation, and she's like, you've been in this sphere or this area. You've been in this space for 4 years. She's like, the industrial side of the internet is only just catching up, right?
Oh, yeah.
And she said... She's like, we're finding you. They're finding you. She's like, you're going to get a lot more phone calls in the next year or so. Like, the industrial side of the internet is just catching up, and you're going to have a lot of fun. You're going to make a lot of money off of it, but like, you're going to have fun with it. And they're going to be there coming to you. You've been here already. You have this space. You have the audience.
You're the old dad.
Ah, grandfathered in. And shout out to Uncle Hack. I've said it to him 100 times. If it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't be here.
You think so?
Maybe eventually I would have been, but like, I don't know, man. I you know, I don't really make the same kind of content as him, but we are in the same niche. We're in the same niche, right? He started off by, you know, making videos on YouTube, you know,
pro tips from a dipshit.
Yeah. And the top 10 lies every patchworker tells themselves.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I'm getting laid off. That's all right. I could use more time at home with the family anyways. You know, like, yeah. Nobody fucking ever thinks that, right? We say it. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah. You go home for a week and you're like itching to get back. Right.
Yeah. No, it was cool to sit down with him and figure out what he was really like. And then you get to realize that not everything you see on the internet is true.
I've learned that the hard way. You know, I don't comment on things that trigger me or irritate me when I see them, because I know what they're doing, because I do the same thing every now and then. Like, you know, especially on Facebook, I'm monetized over there and I know how to trigger the Facebookians, if you want to call them that. Right. I'll drop a comment in the comment section and I know that'll start a fight and I walk away. Right. And when I come back, 400 comments, you know, like later. Yeah. But like, you know, I caption things a certain way, especially on YouTube. I caption them a certain way because I put a lot of effort and value in when I see someone's video. I'm going right to the caption. I want to see what the caption says and what the hashtags are, because, you know, like, I do that. And like, it's maybe there's a hidden Easter egg or something in the caption alone. Or in the comment section. I'll go read to the comment section. But Captain Kobe over on, he lives in Alberta. He's a safety officer. He has taught me that not everything you read on the internet is true. That guy triggers the fuck out of me every time I open Twitter. Right? Yeah. And he comes off as a left-wing fucking paid liberal actor. The furthest thing from it. He just does that because it got him a following and likes and views on the internet. He laughs about it. He's like, this shit's hilarious.
Oh, man. I don't know if I should say his name, but there's a guy in Calgary who's got a pretty active social media following, big YouTube channel, Martin Belanger, Marty Up North.
I know Marty.
like Marty's a beauty. Marty's done work with my company, and I've relied on Marty's expertise numerous times over the last 3 or 4 years. And what you see on Twitter is the most black and white version of Marty. And Marty's not, he's an engineer, so he's kind of dry. Sorry, engineers.
And he's French. It.
But Marty's not black and white. Marty is full of context. Marty is all the colors of the rainbow.
And he's French.
But, and he's got the most incredible.
Oh, did you freeze on me?
Did you
froze on me. Yeah, no, I'm here. I see you there. And he's got the most incredible.
Yeah, he's got the most incredible stories of inside the war room. But he just goes on the internet and he puts these things out there and then he just watches everything happen, right? And it's like, I read his stuff and I'm like, Marty, come on. Like, you don't think that. Like, I know what you're trying to say and the way that you wrote it. Come on, man. But that's how he gets his engagement. And he's retired now. And he's only like, I don't know, like 55 or 56. Like, he's still a young man. He still needs things to stimulate his brain, right? Like, he was a C-suite level executive at lots of oil companies for many years. You know, he's not the type of guy that can just do Wordle and be good to go for the day. You know, and it's like same with Sean Newman. I've had Sean on my pod, and he sold chemical, he slung juice around Lloyd, and then he started doing his pod, and the harder he pushed on things, the better response he got. And now he does a podcast full time. That's how he supports his family. Sean's a good guy. I don't agree with hardly any of the things he says on his podcast, but that doesn't matter because I also understand the position he's in, and that's part of it. Like, you have to know that stuff when you're interacting with these people. So like you said, you don't interact with Captain Colby because you know you're in on it, but not everybody is.
Yeah. Oh, we text every time I see something. I'm like, man, you fucking got me on that one this morning. I came on, I didn't see whose name it was. I just read what it said. And I'm like, oh, you know, and I'm like, no, wait. And then I'm like, no, I'm not commenting on that. I look up. Oh, it's Kobe. Shit. Right.
Yeah.
And I text him and he's coming on the podcast too. We've got that one lined up, but he's gone through some shit recently. So we're just taking a little bit of a breather of reaching out and being annoying. And with Marty, I've been wanting to reach out to Marty to get him on, and every time I do, you know, I come across one of his fucking Twitter posts and I'm like, ugh, I don't know, man. I don't know, right? And then I'm like, I don't want it to be a political podcast either, right? I don't want the whole episode to be political, right?
He'll respect that. 100% he will.
Yeah. I know that, right? I know that up here, but like, when I see his Twitter, it's just like, I want him on, but is he going to go off? Is he going to go off where I can't control him? Right. And
oh yeah, no, that's that you don't have to worry about that with Marty. Guy's utmost professional. If you tell him the guidelines you want him to stay within, you'll get 90 minutes of great content in those lines. I have a lot of respect for Marty. Don't love his Twitter feed, but I have a lot of respect for Marty.
I like his Instagram and his YouTube, of him hiking in the mountains and snowshoeing and skiing and traveling, you know, and Marty seems like a really stand-up guy, you know. And, you know, another thing I wanted to bring up, speaking of Marty, but like, other guests, we've had a lot of the same guests on, especially in like the last, year and a bit, right? Like Kevin McNee, dude, I love that guy. You know, he's kind of gone, you know, a different way now with creating the Ripple. But I still really like that guy. You know, he really, really good guy to chat with about mental health. And, you know, the podcast I did with him was, you know, it was a rain day. It wasn't supposed to happen. You know, I had really bad service, so I had to go sit out in the truck in the parking lot. And, just create a podcast with him there. And, man, it was, hey man, are you free today? I'm free for an hour and 20 minutes. Let's go. Right. Okay. And you know that, and a lot of people ask me, what are you going to talk about on your podcast name? I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I don't know what I'm talking about moment to moment in real life. So like, you know, the podcast is no different. I know I like you. I know what you do. And that's all I need to go on. We'll create something. Right. And that's been my favorite thing.
Yeah. That's it. The thinking on your feet part is a definitely a muscle you have to build when you're doing this. I used to have pages and pages of notes, and then the minute something didn't fit into those notes, I was, when I had Ryan Straz from the Humboldt Broncos bus crash on, I had a bunch of questions about the crash and stuff, and that's not what he was about. He was willing to talk about it, but he wanted to talk about what he was doing next, which, you know, the second act podcast, I can understand why he might have been prepared to talk about that.
Yeah.
And you know, that was like one of the first ones. I think that was like episode 19 where I was like, oh, okay. Got to start paying attention to what his answers are, I guess, cause I'm going to have to riff here. And I did it, and it was good. And I enjoyed it. And it was more fun than just reading a bunch of questions. So
security.
Yeah.
Looking for the beer.
Officer Sexy.
Well, I think it's a dude. But no, man, you got
Strand. Still be Officer Sexy.
No, that's true. Hey, baby. No, so you got Straz on before he became big time. You know what I mean? Like before, and good for you, because like I was trying to get Straz on after he made it, you know, with Hockey Canada and got working with that institute in Philadelphia and whatnot. I tried to get him on. I also tried to get what was that other guy's name? From, he lives in Toronto now, and he just wrote a book called Crossroads. And he was one of the other Humboldt Broncos. And I asked him to come on the podcast, right? And what the hell is this guy doing? I asked him to come on the podcast. And he's like, yeah, man, he slapped me a calendar. I'm like, I can't schedule things, man. Like, you know, I can't, we'll schedule it. But, and then he's like, well, what do you want to talk about? And I'm like, well, obviously, you know, the Humboldt Broncos thing and now your book and you're into law and stuff like that. And he's like, okay. He's like, number one, I don't want to talk about the Humboldt Broncos. I don't want to talk about anything to do with that. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. I don't need to. I can figure it out on my own. We'll talk about the book. We'll talk about, you know, what you've been doing in the last couple of years, you know? And it's been a year and a bit, and we still haven't connected on that, but he follows me, and we're going to talk. And that's another thing about, you know, what you asked about, you know, what else do you have in mind for the podcast? That guy's not blue collar, right? So, you know, that's just someone else, you know, we can take and run with.
Absolutely. And you have to be able to kind of think on your feet like that and get into something, and they might, like, at least he told you that's not what he wants to talk about. Right. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I like that where that accident happened. Like that's like 30 miles from where I grew up. Like I could do a whole podcast series about that, you know, one of the groomsmen in my wedding was the rink attendant in Nipawin. He's the guy who got the phone call saying, there's probably no game tonight. The Broncos were in a terrible crash. My mom had worked at the hospital in Nipawin. She got she got called in to help like that night when things got haywire and they were overwhelmed. She's got a bunch of old Ukrainian women down around Humboldt way made, I don't know, thousands of quilts to thank people for all their help that night. And my mom got one of them, the bus driver, Glenn Dirksen. He like, I grew up next door to him. He lived literally next door to my mom's house growing up. That's just off the top of my head, my connections to the people that were involved in that thing. And I've had a couple of the guys on, and it really is just like a uniting factor, but there's so much more to those types of stories than just the bus crash, right? And
yeah,
you know, kudos to that guy for being honest and saying that's it's not really what I'm about. It's a part of my life, but it doesn't define me.
Yep.
But yeah, I was pretty fortunate when I reached out to Stras. Like he, I don't want to say he responded instantaneously, but he was might have been sitting in there looking for somebody to maybe want him to come on because it all happened real quick. And he was great. He was a great guest, and he was still learning his kind of message and learning how he wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I listened back to it a couple times. Real good pod. Couple guys learning a little bit about what they're trying to do.
Hell yeah, man. I had Greg Ryder on, you know, the guy who wrote the 16 Sticks from the Broncos bus crash. Love that guy. He's got his own podcast now, actually, Greg Ryder. I can't remember what he called it, but he's got one. And then, you know, I build roads in the summertime. It was a few years, couple years before that crash. We did that intersection. We did that road, man. We resurfaced it, right? And yep. So, you know, I stayed at Nipawin. I don't remember the name of the hotel, but we stayed in Nipawin. I actually left I went on a road trip to, oh geez, where did we go? We went to Idaho. We went to Salt Lake City. So that's not in Idaho, but like we stopped in Idaho on the way home.
Yep.
And one of my favorite YouTubers at the time, I wasn't a part of social media, but one of my favorite YouTubers at the time had a clothing line, Trixin. The Shaytards. Everyone probably remembers the Shaytards or whatnot, but yeah, they're one of their good friends now that was actually a part of Trixin is A for Adley. You know A for Adley? Every fucking kid watches A for Adley these days. Her dad Sean was a part of Trixin at one point in time. They were all friends. And so we went there and I stayed in Nipawin, and the shirt that I had just driven hours to get, I left in the hotel in Nipawin. So yeah.
There you go. Long story short, whoever's cleaning at the Kingfisher in Nipawin needs to return Dick's shirt.
Well, funny story about that. So I got the shirt back because my one coworker had to go back there anyways. And like there were, I can't remember why there was equipment or something like that he had to go get. And I'm like, hey man, can you get the shirt for me? He got the shirt for me. And by the time he caught up to me, we were in Regina. We stayed in Regina at the Best Western. And I left the shirt in Regina when I left.
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be, man. Yeah, that shirt was well-traveled. That's for sure. You know, it's been 8 or 9 years. I don't know where the shirt is these days. So hopefully someone at the Kingfisher or not the Kingfisher, the Best Western, you know, donated it to their husband or son or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. I have a knack for leaving things behind in hotels. I like to hang my shorts on the back of the bathroom door, and I don't check behind the bathroom door when I check out. So
I guess you better make sure you have lots of extra shorts laying around.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't want to keep you too much longer, buddy. You know, it's a Monday night. You got work in the morning. You know, we've been going. It's 9:30 at night. I don't want to keep you up too much longer. The wife's probably waiting. So, yeah, man, dude, 100 episodes. Thanks for being a part of my 100th episode. You know, I'm amazed, flattered. Am I flattered? I don't know. I'm flattered that you were able to come on, you know, that you wanted to be a part of it when I asked. And I'm humbled that, you know, a man like Gord Kightley, you know, podcaster extraordinaire, would come on my podcast again.
Extra pretty good. Well, I mean, obviously, Dick, it's an honor to be a part of it. I've said that before, but it's just, I mean, I remember the first time I reached out to you to see if you wanted to come on, and you just wrote back, yeah, I love a good podcast. And, you know, I don't know, whatever that was in the 40s, and it just kind of blossomed to where we have this ability to kind of bounce things off each other. We're both kind of creative. We're doing things the same, but a little bit different. And it's just a lot of fun to sit and watch. You know, I did go back and listen to some of the ones that I hadn't finished. I listened to Mud Salute. That was that was one that I wasn't finished. And I've kind of, she's not very active anymore. She must be busy with work and stuff, but I always found her stuff entertaining. It's fun to see what you've done with your platform. And it's not necessarily always just about numbers. It's about, you know, delivering the message. You've been a great advocate for men's health and giving people an opportunity to speak up when they need it. And I think that if it all ended today, and if that's what all these people that listen over all over the world take away from you is that you made it okay to say how you feel. What a great thing. Like what else could you ask from this?
Man. Wow. That thanks, man. I appreciate that. That's huge. You know, if it ended today, man, I've said it a bunch of times. If I've had to end it right now today, I could walk away knowing that, you know, we did some damage, right? We set out to do something, and like everything else that, you know, in life, we went a completely different way with it. And, you know, and it wasn't the wrong way. It didn't lead us astray in a wrong way at all. And, you know, it came full circle exactly where it needs to be. So, I'm pretty excited about that. I'm pretty excited for the future, man. And to the next 100, I guess.
Hear, hear. Congratulations, absolutely. Dick. 100 episodes is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, man. I appreciate that, dude. And you know what, man? Stay frosty, brother.
I absolutely. That's why I wear a toque.
Shit. What was that? Slick. I like that. Gotta get lyrics for this show.
When you said it was 9:30 and I was like, we'd been talking for an hour and 23 minutes, I was like,